Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Marginal Mysteries host and author Micah Van Hus will begin a three-part series teaching on secrets of the Smithsonian, the three beasts of Revelation, and the Tower of Secrets. Prophecy in the News television program is now on the air. That's right, you can watch the program founded by J.R. Church each week for the latest headlines, Bible prophecy teaching, with encouragement and information. Prophecy in the News is being broadcast nationwide on four Christian television networks and online. For a complete listing of days, times, and channels, visit our website, swrc.com. To bring back Prophecy in the News television program has been a huge leap of faith. From building the television studio to equipping the studio with cameras, lighting, and lenses, set construction, and now placing the program on Christian television networks, you can imagine the costs involved. So we're asking for your prayers as we launch this new outreach. And as you're led, please consider giving a special gift to the Prophecy in the News television program. You can give your gift by phone. Simply call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also give your gift at our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Thank you, my friends, for your support of Prophecy in the News television. Now, here's today's host and teacher, Micah Van Hus, ready to delve into the mysterious Tower of Secrets.
From the beginning, there's been a war, unseen but relentless, not between nations, but between heaven and the powers of the air. Over time, this war has seeped into the minds of men, forming cults, kingdoms, and secret societies bent on resisting the authority of God. I'm your host today, Micah Van Hus. I host Marginal Mysteries for Southwest Radio Ministries, and today we are taking a look at the topic of the Tower of Secrets, which you can find in my book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. Somewhere near the start of it all, there stands a figure, mighty, rebellious, and enigmatic, whose name is Nimrod. Genesis 10 tells us he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and that the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Some speculate that Nimrod may have led the building of the Tower of Babel itself, a defiant ziggurat meant to pierce the heavens and make man a god in his own right. Though scripture doesn't directly name Nimrod as the builder of the tower, Jewish tradition and Freemasonic lore certainly suggest it. What we do know for sure is this: Babel was a man's first attempt to unify in rebellion, and God came down to stop it. We're talking post-diluvian after the flood. Genesis 11:6 says, "Behold, the people is one, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." God scattered the people, confused their language, and ended their project. But the spirit of Babel never died. It survived in secret, in the rites of mystery schools, in Egyptian priesthoods, in Roman temples, and eventually in modern secret societies. From the Freemasons to the Illuminati, many claim their origins trace back to Babylon and to Nimrod himself. Was he merely a mighty king, or did he access something darker, some forbidden knowledge? According to ancient texts, the watchers of Genesis 6 taught mankind the secrets of war, enchantment, and technology. The Book of Enoch names them Shimyaza, Azazel, and others. Could Nimrod have rediscovered their teachings? It's speculation, but a chilling one, and it may explain how he became mighty, as if transformed by something not entirely human. Freemasonry's earliest documents name Nimrod as their first excellent Grand Master. They claimed he employed thousands to build not just cities, but sacred structures, ziggurats, towers, and temples that channeled power from another realm. Was this architectural ambition merely civic, or was it spiritual defiance? Some claim that Nimrod merged with Egyptian myth as Osiris, the sun god who died, was buried, and would one day rise again. Osiris was cut into pieces and reassembled by Isis. He became god of the underworld, the ruler of resurrection. Revelation 17:8 describes a beast that was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Was John describing a future man or an ancient one returning? It's speculation, but compelling. Because if Nimrod is Osiris, and if Osiris is preserved, then the Tower of Babel may have only been the beginning. The real goal, resurrection, power, godhood, and that spirit still lives. Genesis 6 tells us that the sons of God came down and took wives from the daughters of men. From that union came the giants, the Nephilim. But those angels, the watchers, also taught mankind forbidden knowledge, weaponry, magic, astrology, and enchantments. The non-canonical Book of Enoch, chapter 8, records how Azazel taught men to craft swords and armor. Shemyaza taught enchantments. Other angels taught astrology, cloud reading, and the signs of the earth. This knowledge didn't vanish in the flood. According to some legends, it was preserved, carved into stone, and hidden in the earth. One story claims that Hermes, possibly the same as the post-diluvian Canaan or the Egyptian Thoth, rediscovered a pillar containing antediluvian wisdom. Could this be how Nimrod came into power? Did he receive knowledge that allowed him to forge an empire? It's not confirmed in scripture, but the world's oldest religions and occult teachings all seem to lead back to Babel. Even today, secret societies point to this ancient knowledge. Freemasonry claims that seven sacred sciences, grammar, rhetoric, dialectic, music, arithmetic, geometry, and astronomy, originated with Nimrod, and that he passed them down to a chosen elite. The legend of the craft tells of Nimrod sending masons eastward with building secrets, giving them special signs and oaths. These secrets still guard something. Something they claim is enlightenment, illumination, but scripture calls it deception. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Man's wisdom, apart from God, leads to destruction. Just as the Tower of Babel rose up in defiance, so too will a final tower, perhaps not of stone, but of ideology, of technology, or rebellion. Revelation calls it Babylon the Great. It may not be a physical city, but it is real, and its spirit still defies the throne of heaven. We must also consider the possibility of a bloodline, one that has carried this rebellious knowledge through the ages. The Rex Deus theory suggests that secret societies, Knights Templar, Priory of Sion, Illuminati, have preserved a bloodline from antiquity. Some say it's the line of Christ. Others speculate it's something darker, the seed of the serpent from Genesis 3:15. Could the Antichrist be a descendant of this line? A man born with a destiny to oppose God. Revelation 13:2 says, "The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Who is this man? Scripture doesn't tell us his lineage, but if there were a bloodline, guarded, nurtured, and kept by elites, it would explain a lot. A man of charisma, political genius, spiritual deception, the perfect vessel for the spirit of the Antichrist. He won't come waving a pitchfork. He'll come with promises of peace, and many will follow. Revelation 13 introduces a second beast, the false prophet. He looks like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. Could this be the Pope? Some throughout history have thought so. Martin Luther himself believed it, and today's Catholic Church under the papacy often speaks of more of unity than of Christ. The Vatican sits atop seven hills. Revelation 17:9 says, "The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Coincidence? Perhaps, but it raises questions. If the Pope, or someone like him, calls the world to worship the beast, will he be seen as a man of peace? Revelation 13:13 says, "He maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Is this a spiritual fire, technology, or just a spectacle? Whatever it is, the world will believe it's divine, and the false prophet will direct that worship not to God, but to the beast. Now imagine a relic is discovered, perhaps in Egypt, beneath the sand or sealed in stone, a body, mummified or preserved. The world is told this is Osiris or Gilgamesh or even Nimrod himself. If you'll note, back in 2003, there are stories that the tomb of Gilgamesh was found under the Euphrates River, and that was one of the reasons for the U.S. invasion of Iraq, was to capture some of the artifacts that were taken. Folks will scoff, but others, those with the ancient knowledge, will begin their rituals. Revelation 13:15 says the second beast had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So could this image in Revelation be a preserved body, brought to life by deception, perhaps by advanced technology or dark spiritual power? Again, we speculate, but the pattern is there. A dead king, a promised return, and a temple defiled, and the world in awe. This false resurrection could be the great sign that deceives many. But we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know the true Christ has already risen, and he will return, not from a tomb, but from the clouds. Now let's step back and look at the bigger picture. Nimrod may have built cities. He may have hunted men. But his true legacy is rebellion. He said, "Let us make a name," according to Genesis 11:4. It was pride that moved Babel to rise, and it will be pride that brings Babylon back. Revelation 17 speaks of a woman arrayed in scarlet, riding the beast. She is called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Is this literal Babylon, or is it the religious and philosophical system that has traveled through time from Sumer to Egypt to Rome to the Vatican? Whatever it is, it intoxicates the nations. It spreads corruption under the guise of enlightenment, and at its core is the same lie from Eden, "Ye shall be as gods." But only one God saves, and he doesn't require a tower to reach him. Now, some scholars suggest that the book of Revelation isn't just prophecy, it's revealing of cycles. What was, will be. Just as Babel rose and fell, so too will the final empire rise in rebellion and fall under God's judgment. Revelation 18:2 says, "Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Whether this is a city, a system, or both, it will not stand." But until then, the deception grows stronger. Through media, education, and even religion, the world is being conditioned to embrace false light, false unity, and false peace. But the gospel stands in contrast. 1 Corinthians 2:5 reminds us that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Don't trust the builders of Babel, trust the rock that never crumbles. If the speculation holds, if Nimrod was Osiris and Osiris is resurrected, then Revelation's beast may be more than symbolic. Revelation 17:8 describes him. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, was and is not, and yet is." Now some interpret this as a divine revived empire, others as a resurrected man. But could both be true? Could the beast be both a system and a person? A man, possibly of ancient origin, risen with technology or sorcery, and a government, global in scope, ruled by that man. Now, it's speculation, but the danger isn't in the details. It's in the deception. Whatever form the beast takes, it will look good. It will sound right. It will promise salvation, but its end will be destruction. We're told that in the last days, knowledge will increase. Daniel 12:4 says, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And look where we are. Artificial intelligence, genetic engineering, particle physics that may open doors we weren't meant to open. Could the forbidden knowledge of the Watchers be returning? Some believe CERN, with its Hadron Collider, is trying to access other dimensions. Others point to transhumanism, man merging with machine. Or is it advancement? Or is it Babel all over again? Genesis 11:6 warned, "Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." The question isn't, can we? The question is, should we? And for a world that no longer fears God, the answer is always yes, until it's too late. So what do we do? First, we discern. 1 John 4:1 tells us, "Beloved, be not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Not every miracle is holy. Not every religion is righteous. Not every light is of heaven. Now, secondly, we prepare, not with bunkers or gold, but with faith. Ephesians 6 says to take up the whole armor of God: truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word. And lastly, we watch. Jesus said in Matthew 24:42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Don't sleep on this. The deception is already here, and the king is at the door. Remember this: the world's systems will fail. The secret societies may conspire, the Antichrist will rise, the false prophet will work signs, Babylon may prosper for a time. But Revelation 19:16 says of Jesus, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's the end game. Not a throne in Rome, not a tower in Babel, but a white horse, a righteous judge, and a kingdom that will never end. So don't get lost in the darkness. Fix your eyes on the light. And when the trumpet sounds, may he find us faithful. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. There's something powerful about the idea of resurrection. The world is fascinated with this. Hollywood is full of reboots, rebirths, and returns. But not all resurrections are from God. Revelation 13:14 tells us that the world would be deceived when they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. Some believe this is a revived empire. Others believe it's a man who appears to rise from the dead. If the preserved body of an ancient king, Nimrod, Osiris, or Gilgamesh, were somehow reanimated, would the world bow? Would they call it a miracle? Revelation warns that the beast will demand worship, not because he's worthy, but because he seems invincible. But our hope doesn't rest in miracles, it rests in the empty tomb. Only one has conquered death and stayed risen, and his name is Jesus. The book of Revelation speaks of an unholy trinity: the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Each mimics the real Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Satan doesn't create, he imitates. The Antichrist may pose as a Messiah. The false prophet may imitate Pentecost, calling fire from heaven. And the image of the beast may counterfeit resurrection itself. If Nimrod really was Osiris and his body is preserved, as some believe, then maybe that's the body they'll raise. Maybe that's the image that speaks. Again, it's speculation. But what's not speculation is this: there will be a deception, great signs, and the world will marvel. Jesus warned in Matthew 24:24, "For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Don't be fooled by signs, be anchored in the Word. Revelation 17:5 speaks of Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Could this be Rome? Could it be a religious system that traces its imagery and rituals to Babylon, passed through Egypt into Catholicism? Some think so. The sun disks, the obelisks, the Madonna and child imagery, all may echo back to Semiramis and Horus, or Isis and Osiris, or Nimrod and the Queen of Heaven. Jeremiah 7:18 speaks of this ancient worship. The women need their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. This isn't new, it's very old. But Revelation tells us that Babylon, whatever or wherever it truly is, will fall, burned, and desolate. And the nations will weep, not for righteousness lost, but for their riches. The system of control, commerce, and false religion will collapse. Only one kingdom will remain, and it will not be built by hands. So what does this mean for us? It means the system of man will fail. The secret societies will not usher in utopia. They may believe they are the keepers of light, but it's a false light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 warns, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We're not waiting for enlightenment, we're waiting for a trumpet. We're not looking for ancient gods, we're looking for the return of the king. The deception will look noble, peaceful, and progressive. The beast may promise healing and unity, but it comes at the cost of your soul. Revelation 14:9 warns that if any man worship the beast and his image, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. These aren't metaphors. This is the final test, and those who endure will be crowned. We are watching prophecy unfold in real time. Technology is preparing the way. Religion is converging. Nations are aligning. Apostasy is growing. But Jesus said in John 16:33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That's our anchor. We're not here to speculate endlessly, but to warn faithfully. Whether Nimrod returns or the beast is someone entirely new, whether the false prophet is a pope or someone else, what matters is not the headline, but the heart. Who do you worship? Who do you follow? Who is your king? Let the world bow to the beast. We bow to the Lamb. The Tower of Babel wasn't just a building, it was a declaration. We will ascend. It was the first global rebellion, and it won't be the last. Revelation tells us that the final kingdom will speak the same language. One economy, one system, one man in charge. And God will once again come down. Only this time he won't scatter the people. He will judge the nations. He will crush the beast. He will bind the dragon. And he will establish a kingdom that will never end. Daniel 2:44 says, "And the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." We're not just resisting darkness, we're awaiting glory. This isn't the end of the world, it's the end of their world. The kingdom of man, the system of rebellion, the reign of the secret societies and the fallen powers behind them. They think they're building a new Atlantis, but we're looking for a new Jerusalem. Revelation 21:2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. No more death, no more deception, no more darkness, just the King, his people, and eternal peace. Until then, we watch, we endure, and we proclaim, because the truth can't be silenced, and the King is coming." So what do we say to all this? Stay awake, stay anchored, stay in the Word. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. His kingdom is not of this world, but it is coming. The spirit of Nimrod may rise, the beast may speak, the false prophet may perform miracles, but the Lamb will return with eyes of fire and a sword from his mouth. Revelation 19:11 says, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Let them build their tower. Let them guard their mysteries. Let them resurrect their false gods. We serve the risen Lord. To the unsaved, maybe the final deception will look like salvation, a cure for disease, a new spiritual awakening, a unified world free from war. But Revelation 13:3 says, "And all the world wondered after the beast." That word, wondered, doesn't mean terror, it means admiration. The world will fall in love with the lie. This is why Jesus told us in Matthew 24:25, "Behold, I have told you before." He didn't leave us guessing, he left us warned. And while the world builds temples to idols, we prepare our hearts for the true temple, Christ himself. Because when he returns, he won't need votes, rituals, or a tower. He will come with power and glory. The story ends not with the beast on a throne, but with the beast cast down. Revelation 20:10 says, "And the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." That's the final word. Not man's rebellion, not Satan's imitation, but God's judgment and God's mercy. Until that day, we are watchmen on the wall. We may not have all the answers, but we know the way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus. And he's not coming as a baby in a manger. He's coming as the King in glory. Be ready. If you've enjoyed today's topic, I'm your host, Micah Van Hus, and that's from my book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. You can get a copy at swrc.com, swrc.com, or calling 800-652-1144, 800-652-1144. If you want to stay in touch with my latest works and our videos, you can visit marginalmysteries.com. That's marginalmysteries.com.
Micah will continue his series next time with a deep dive into the secrets of the Smithsonian. This week's teachings are from Micah's best-selling book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. Since the days of Nimrod, rooted in the knowledge of the Antediluvian Watchers, secret societies have been working to usher in human enlightenment, ascend humanity into godhood, and provoke a final battle with the Creator. They will get their battle of Armageddon, but they will not win. In Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps, we study history's most prominent secret societies and their lasting effects on our culture, religion, government, and laws. What role does Nimrod and the Tower of Babel play in the grand scheme? Did the Knights Templar guard the Holy Grail and bury a vast treasure in North America? Should a Christian join a secret society? Find the answers to these and many more questions when you read Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps by Micah Van Hus. Order your copy today by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Secret Societies on our website, swrc.com. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Micah Van Hus will reveal the secrets of the Smithsonian. Be sure to tune in by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.